Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with a special edition of the Tim May Podcast. You know what, though? Awesome. I think all my podcasts are special in their own way, aren't they? Depends on your definition of special.
They're all unique. They're all precious. They're all treasured and wonderful.
Precious. That's the best word so far, precious. But, you know, we promised folks at the beginning when I did my podcast with Greg Madison this week, I was going to come back and you and I were going to chop up a little bit about what, you know, just some maybe some afterthoughts of Pro Day, some of the guys that performed, et cetera. And I appreciate you for joining me, Awesome, otherwise known as Austin Ward. But anyway, you were supposed to comment after that, but you didn't, so that's okay. I'm glad you hit mute on that one. You know, to me, the play that stood out on that pro day, as we all know, was Justin Fields near the end of his workout, feigning a handoff right, rolling left, and as he was twirling in the air, throwing the ball 65 yards down the field to a speeding bullet known as C.J. Saunders. And that's been replayed, I think, a million times. No, but it seems like it on social media, YouTube, et cetera. It was definitely the highlight of the day in terms of wow, a wow moment. But as I told my guest on this special edition of the Tim May Podcast, if he hadn't run under it and caught it, you know, it would have been well, that was a pretty good looking pass, but oh my goodness, you know, you got to finish. But C.J. Saunders came off the mat. Let's call it that. He came off the mat of his football career. You know, obviously he was denied an extra year of eligibility last year, even though he had suffered the knee injury the year before when he'd been named captain before the season started. He was denied by the NCAA an extra year of eligibility, which still, you know, he said he still didn't read the fine print. You know, I talked to him about it in this interview, but you know, to see him have a day too, along with these other guys, but especially CJ, to show that there's still football in his life, that was uplifting, wasn't it?
It was awesome. Yeah. And you're welcome for joining you. yeah, I mean, if CJ Saunders doesn't catch the ball, then that's not a highlight that's played 100 times. It's just somebody who can throw the football a really long way. Being a quarterback means that you complete the pass. So C.J. Saunders and, you know, Johnny Dixon, both guys who are trying to, you know, fight their way back in the league, making catches out there.
Yeah.
Ohio State didn't have senior wide receivers. So, you know, you had Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and Jameson Williams out there running routes and helping out on a pro day, which turned out to be pretty cool for those guys. And, you know, that you feel really good for C.J. Saunders. I mean, you and I both do. We spent a lot of time talking with him and have followed his career a long time. And, you know, he had to fly down there. You know, you don't just get to, you know, the point of that, you know, play for Justin Fields was to show that he could escape pressure. So he's not going to stand around and just wait for somebody to be 65 yards away. You know, C.J. Saunders had to run his route. He had to make the catch. I know that we're going to talk way more about Justin Fields, but that part, that's going to be cool, you know, for the next month. You know, who's the guy who caught that pass? Well, yeah. should we be looking at him? I mean, C.J. Saunders is almost certainly not going to get drafted, but this might be an opportunity for him to have made an impression that allows him to go into a camp. And he's dealt with this situation before where all he needs is a foot in the door and then he can work from there.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, let's get to my conversation with C.J. Saunders, one of my favorite people. You know, I know I've got a lot of favorite people, but he's one of them, man. He's on that list. And so is Johnny Dixon, for that matter. But let's get to my conversation with C.J. Saunders, and we'll come back and chop up a few more things.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And as promised, ladies and gentlemen, I've got the surprise. I've got the surprise performer from the Ohio State Pro Day 2021. And no, I'm not talking about Justin Fields. That was no surprise. The show he put on, was it CJ Saunders?
How you doing, Tim?
Pretty good, man. But that was no surprise what Justin Fields did on Tuesday at y'all's Pro Day, was it?
No, he had a great day. I think he was really – I mean, that's what he's been working for ever since kind of that last national championship game. I was really impressed with his throws, made a lot of throws across the field. So, yeah, he definitely had a good day.
Yeah, but let's get right to the brass tacks while I've got C.J. Saunders on, ladies and gentlemen. The lightning flash, it showed up on everybody's screens yesterday when they were watching the OSU Pro Day. I think a lot of people had given C.J. Saunders up for not lost, but gone. And suddenly he pops up. He didn't get to play last year, even though he had tried to get to play. He had applied for an extra year. Isn't that right, CJ? And you were denied?
Yeah, applied for a medical red shirt coming out of that 2019 season. Wasn't granted that. And then just kept, you know, sticking with it, getting ready for this day.
I got you, man. You served as basically a student intern, a GA for want of another term with the football team last year with the wide receivers. But let's get right down to it. The climax of the pro day at Ohio State. Yeah, there were other things that happened after this, but this was the climax. The rest of it's called the denouement, I think, in journalism or in novel writing. You run a little kind of like started inside on the move, went upfield, gave a little bit of a feint to the outside, and just ran as fast as you could to the left corner while Justin Fields rolled to his left. And just sort of like a whirling dervish threw the ball 65 yards in the air. Now, I think there might be a few guys that can kick, that can do the whirling dervish, throw the ball 65 yards in the air. Not a lot of them. But to make it a success, the guy running the route's got to catch the ball. Did you realize you were part of a major moment there, for want of another term, a Twitter, YouTube moment there when you ran that ball down in the left corner?
Yeah, I'd definitely be lying if I didn't think, all right, this one's going to be the one. And we kind of knew that, you know, getting prepared that week is you kind of get together with Justin. We're kind of going through the script and you can kind of see, okay, here's going to be some highlight type throws that ended up, how they ended up being. So, no, I'd be lying if I said, you know, definitely want to make this play. I think this is going to be the one that's going to be all over the internet. So happy we're able to make it connect.
In other words, there was no doubt you were going to catch it. Is that what you're trying to say? Because you did. You grabbed a hold of that thing like it was a bag full of money.
Yeah, I wasn't going to let that one slip, man.
As that ball's in the air, I mean, number one, why did Justin pick you for that particular route? Because did y'all actually practice that during the week or during the buildup or yes. How did that work out?
He didn't necessarily pick me. We had a bunch of good receivers. It just kind of ended up working out. A couple
your
guys
turn.
Were planning to go on the right side and then kind of your turn. There was a couple routes that me and him wanted to work on and get together too. So we were able to get that one and we hit it. Obviously when you're a week out, you can run full speed. And as you kind of get closer to a pro day or a game, you got to start, you know, easing back on the leg. So just kind of get some spot catches and rehearsing that. So, I'm glad that we were able to, like I said, super glad we were able to execute that play and then a good amount of work went into it.
Well, I was watching it on television because, you know, the local media, we weren't allowed to be in the arena, so to speak. They did have TV cameras there, which was great. But I've told you before we started this thing, it reminded me of Willie Mays running down that hit by Vic Wertz deep in the polo grounds, the center field of polo grounds. Of course, he turned around and threw the ball back to the infield, but you didn't have to do that. You probably still have that ball under your arm right now, don't you?
Yeah, I would if I could. No, I didn't have to do any of that. But, yeah, I thought that was a funny comparison.
Well, what stood out about it was, number one, how fast you were moving. Number two, you were running, like I said, you kind of like got an eyeball of where Justin was going to let go of the ball, and then you put your head back down and ran there, right? I mean, explain to people – the dynamics that are involved there of running 65 yards down the field at full tilt and looking back at the last moment and hauling that in. What is that sensation like besides the wind whistling through your ears?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And as you're I would say even me when I'm still going and I struggle at times, I think a lot of receivers, once you start, you're really booking it full speed and you're going deep down the field and that ball, obviously, like you said, you see that angle. It's easy to let your head get wild. Your eyes start kind of, the ball starts shifting a little bit. You want to limit that as much as possible. So hopefully you can stay smooth. Like you said, you make that cut, whatever it was, and then you're just drive phase and you can stay smooth. And the biggest thing, we've all caught a million balls before, but it's okay, put it, let's do it right now and keep your head steady, keep your eyes focused on the route and kind of just feeling out where you think that catch point's going to be. And it can turn in a hurry. And I think a lot of drop balls maybe because of that, especially if wide open guys drop balls, you still got to focus. If you think you're there, take your eyes off it, take your focus for 1 second. That's all it takes. Those balls are coming in hot, especially 65 yards in the air. So I think the biggest thing is just keeping your head steady, keeping your arms moving, and then just trusting your hands as you get to the catch point.
Hey, are you thinking at all? I just asked you this a while ago, but kind of like a different way. Are you thinking at all, man, you know, this is going to look good. I mean, as you're running, because y'all, like you said, y'all practice in some respects, but this is going to look good, not only for Justin, but this is going to look good for me if I catch this ball. You know what I mean? Or maybe you're not thinking that as you're running, but I would think you thought that before that play and you thought that definitely after that play, right? Tell me what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I think that's a valid thought. You know, I think we're all there competing yesterday to improve our stock selfishly. And thankfully I was able to help Justin look good by making the play, but yeah, like you said, he made me look good. I'm thankful for that. And yeah, I'd be lying if I said, I mean, that's the point of a pro day. And I think anytime you get in kind of an individual setting rather than a kind of the team or you're in normal season, if it's something like yesterday, it's solely on you almost. So it's like, hey, here's what I got. You're kind of just trying to boost your stock and then show teams what you got. So yeah, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't kind of like, hey, this would be a good moment for me and this could help me out.
I was going to say, that's kind of like America's Got Talent. You know, you can have this great idea and you can do this great move, but if you don't finish the move, you don't make the cut. You know, and that's what I was just thinking that. I said, you know, it takes two to tango when you throw a deep ball. And, but, you know, CJ, did you have people coming up to you before or after? I'm talking about scouts, coaches, whoever, you know, somebody going, now, who are you? I mean, you know what I mean? Did you have to kind of reintroduce yourself to the masses a little bit?
Yeah, I think I've said it a couple of times, some other stuff as I've been building up. I had some good momentum coming off that 2019 camp before I suffered my injury.
Yeah.
And so I was some scouts, a handful of them were familiar with me and were impressed with some pieces of my game. And then, like you said, it was kind of reintroducing myself. And that was my big goal. This pro day was, hey, here's what I got. I still got ball in me. I still got athleticism and stuff to show. Don't forget about me. Here's kind of, I'm still the player that you saw and were impressed with, you know, 2 years ago. So not a whole lot of communicating to coaches and scouts after the pro day. But I catch a good wind and Coach Hartline coming up to me and, you know, letting me know, hey, man, you had a good, great day. And we kind of had a good conversation. So stuff like that leads me to believe that, you know, I left a good mark and did what I could.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't just catch that last pass. You caught passes all over the place. And, you know, I thought it was a good mix of you guys out there. And, you know, not the least of whom, you know, Trey Sermon was out there running routes out of the backfield. Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave were catching passes. Who else was involved? Were Houseman and Luke Farrell involved in that?
I'm trying to – Luke Farrell out of a tight end set. We had Johnny Dixon back in town.
Yeah, Johnny Dixon was out there. Yeah.
And even Jamison Williams was out there catching some balls. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun out there yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't notice Jamison Williams, but now that I'm thinking about it, yes, I did. You know, deep in your gut right now, are you feeling like, hey, I've rekindled this. Like we were talking about a while ago, some more interest in you. But, you know, I would think the toughest thing you went through was, number one, getting that injury. 2019, you're elected captain. You know, you stayed in there. You hung in there, bless your heart, you know, and became a leader of that team with that great speech at halftime of the championship game, Big Ten championship game. You kind of carved your own little niche, you know, in a team lore, team history. And then you come back, you're wanting that next year and you don't get it. Just give me some kind of feeling about how the disappointment you dealt with in both of those situations and then how you kind of feel like a rebirth or whatever you want to call it right now.
Yeah, a ton of disappointment there in that August of 2019. Like you said, elected captain, having a great camp. We have a great team. Looking to win a national title that year with all the talent. And great coaching we had on that team. Wasn't able to participate. And like you said, stuck with it, man. I wasn't going to let that, ruin that year for me. Yes, I wasn't going to be on the field, but we still had a great year, accomplished a ton of things, Big Ten title, obviously losing to Clemson in one of the best bowl games of recent memory. So that happens. And then, okay, let's talking to coaches, talking to trainers, let's get this red shirt and let's get it again. And kind of you train that whole year with the team and went through winter conditioning. You got summer condition, obviously COVID happened. So
yeah.
Switched it up, but we, worked out with guys. And then you get that word back. It's like, hey, you're not going to be, it's not going to happen this year. And at that point, it's kind of like, all right, you have that reality of kind of that almost the last game of your senior year of high school or whatever it is. Like, hey, this is, I'm not going to put on the scarlet and gray again. Definitely a lot of disappointment, but at the same time, I've always tried to keep a good head and just say, my goal had always been to continue playing, and I wanted to try to play in the NFL. And that was still alive, just because my day at Ohio State as a player on Saturdays was done. There were still going to be opportunities like yesterday. There were still going to be opportunities to get around coaches and be involved in the game. And yeah, that's kind of all I started focusing on, as well as helping the team with my role this year. Thanks to Coach Day and the staff for letting me be on a part of that journey. So yeah, a ton of, like you said, to answer the question, a ton of disappointment, but also just been able to have a lot of support system and lead me in the right direction where I can keep my eyes, hey, the goal is still there. Not going to let this define you. Let's see what else is out there, and been super thankful. And it kind of led to a moment like yesterday. And like you said, you hopefully get your name buzzing around again.
Yeah. It ought to be buzzing. How does the NCAA or whoever it is let you know you've been turned down? Is it an email? Does somebody, I'm talking about appeal for another year. Yeah. Is it an email? Do they send you a letter? Do they send a courier? You know what I mean? Is it by Western Union? I don't even know if you know what Western Union is.
I don't use it. I know what it is.
Do they alert you on Twitter with a direct message? How do they let you know?
No, it was through our compliance staff, and that's kind of who handled everything. They would send me the paperwork. Here's what you got to sign. Here, fill out this. What's the reason? Blah, blah, blah. And then kind of let them handle it. And we have a great compliance staff. Ohio State is filled with the best people. And so that when that kind of got in towards that end of summer there of 2020, going into that camp, just had a talk with our, head compliance. And it was like, hey, here's the memo we got back from them. Here's the message. And it's not going to happen this year.
Did the message say you weren't hurt bad enough, or I guess what I'm saying is, more than anything else, how did they explain themselves?
It wasn't a whole, I never personally looked at the email or letter.
Yeah.
Or whatever we got. Just had, conversation with our staff members. I didn't hear an exact reason. It kind of would be interesting to know, like you said, is the injury not bad enough or whatever? I didn't
play anything,
but yeah, it's literally, through it now, and then I don't hold anything against.
Oh, me. Sure. It's part of your moxie now, man. Absolutely. I mean, that adds to your moxie, as I like to say. I got a buddy of mine. He used to like my moxie, not my ability, but my moxie. Yeah. Believe me, you got ability and moxie. So you're playing right now. I mean, hook or crook, whether you get drafted or sign as a free agent, you plan to be in some NFL camp eventually. Later this spring or early summer, right? I mean, that's what your goal is.
Absolutely. That's the goal. And so I think you catch your breath here after pro day. We've been training really hard for a good 2 months here and talk to my agent, and kind of as stuff starts picking up towards the draft, like you said, start to kind of see what the interest level is, where you fit, and get your body continue to grow and get into a shape where you're ready to go. And whatever that call is, I'm not going to be a first round guy. I mean, I know that. And then, so, okay, here's what is he an end of round draft guy? Okay. If he's not, is he a second post day after the draft type guy? And you kind of just, it's as long as you get your foot in the door, that's kind of how I've always lived as far as since I got to Ohio State, being a walk on and then kind of this next step. So you get that foot in the door and you give it all you got and show coaches what you can do and be consistent in that. So that's, yes, that is the goal.
What'd you run yesterday? Do you remember? I mean, did you get any times?
I would have liked to run a little bit faster on my 40. We haven't got the three cone or L drill stuff back quite yet, but I went 4.68 and 4.71. So
yeah,
like I said, I would have liked to go a little bit faster in that, but left it out on the field that day and beat a lot of goals and a lot of stuff. So I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, it reminds me. I mean, there have been receivers throughout history who didn't run basically great 40s, so to speak, but who had the ability to get open. And I think, you know, Ryan Day has gushed about your ability to get open, and Brian Hartline too, ever since you've been around. I mean, you know, and like I said, that's the moxie part of your game and stuff. And that's all the NFL is about, is creating enough space to throw a ball to a guy. You know what I mean? And
exactly right.
And you got guys on that level that can do it. Well, most teams do. Some teams do. Let's put it that way. But and let's get back to this, though. What did you find out about yourself, though, helping, you know, in essence, coach last year, for want of another term? You know, your dad's an extremely well-known and respected baseball coach, you know, forever in high schools here in Central Ohio. But, I've told you all along, I even wrote a story about it, I think, once, that, you know, some guys just have it in their genes to be a coach. They have that ability to tell people what to do in an authoritative kind of way that the other people are receptive to it. And what I've heard is you have that ability. Did you find that you did? I mean, you know, during that year of just sort of helping Brian Hartline more than anything else, did it pay off for you a little bit in terms of enlightening you about your own abilities?
It definitely did. Being able to be around the best every day, and, you know, in a lot of those meetings, not saying a whole lot, and, you know, you got your staff meetings, your O-staff meetings, but just being able to watch and how these are the best coaches in the game and how they operate and how they conversate and what they, you know, how they go about their business. Like you said, that's what I took the most out of. And, you know, I have been blessed as my kind of my leadership style to be able to connect with guys, like you said. And so I think, you know, Coach Hartline, when we were in our receiver meetings or in our individual drills and that practice, he gave me that freedom to, he trusts me enough to say and kind of lead these guys in a good direction and coach them up on stuff I see. And so, man, I learned a lot about the game. I learned a lot about the X's and O's, but more importantly, I think I learned a lot about how to operate an extremely successful program, how to communicate with your peers as a coach. You know, it's different than as a player, obviously, but how do you communicate as an adult in a classroom type setting almost when you're watching film? So, I mean, I couldn't be more thankful for that experience. And it definitely did enlighten me on, okay, I'd always had an interest in coaching, no doubt. And with my dad, like you said, and just kind of being around sports my whole life, but being at that level definitely, you know, click something in me like, hey, this could be something you really want to do for the rest of your life.
Oh yeah, man. Who is somebody behind the scenes that, you know, obviously you knew Coach Hartline from the beginning. You know, I would think you've had a relationship off and on with Coach Day. I mean, Ryan Day, you know, but who is somebody once you got behind the closed doors of make coaches meetings or something that just, you went, wow, that guy, you know, he's more impressive than I even thought he was.
You know, it's funny. I got a lot of guys that really come to mind, but just somebody that I haven't even been around a whole lot outside of a few meetings.
Yeah.
Coach Washington on the defensive side, conversation with him is just incredible about the game and about life in general. That's one guy that, you know, this year through being on the staff, I was able to get a lot closer with and develop a good relationship with and kind of just pick his brain on some stuff. Coach Alford on the offensive side, another guy that obviously outside of Coach Day and Coach Hartline, which I've spent a lot of time with. Coach Alford was a guy I didn't spend a whole lot of time with, you know, in a X's and O's setting about the game. Man, yeah. That guy is super, super smart and super willing to give knowledge. And I think that's something that the Ohio State staff was I'm grateful for. And I think they don't even do it on purpose, just how they are, that they're willing to share the game and help someone like me and the younger coaches on staff. Like hey, here's what's successful. Here's why it's successful. So if the two that just came to mind immediately were Coach Washington and Coach Alford for me.
Yeah. I was going to say, man, you know, and this isn't, you know, cause I can say this about everybody, all those guys, but those two guys in particular, for example, conversations I've had with them, you know, sometimes just in interview situations, but occasionally just some conversation, you kind of leave any kind of conversation with those guys feeling, I don't know, sort of, just even as a media guy, sort of uplifted, you know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, but sort of inspired, for want of another term. Am I wrong about that? I mean, that's the way I felt, you know, that conversation.
You're
dead
right. And that's how they operate with their players. And, you know, the whole staff, that's what Ohio State staff is. And those two in particular is, I feel the same way. I think you feel motivated to go do your best. You feel motivated to go you know, chase dreams, to go try whatever, you know, whatever you've been holding back on or do whatever. And I think that's kind of that feeling you're talking about, whether you're an athlete or you're a player for those two coaches, or, you know, you're in the media or you're someone like me trying to be a coach one day. You walk out of conversations with people like that wanting to be better, and not because they're saying, here's what you do wrong, you need to get better at this, but it's because, hey, this is what you have in you and this is what life is all about. So yeah. I think that's what makes those two some of the best in the country.
Yeah. Nothing better than that, man. Nothing better than inspiration. Last thing, I joked with Ryan Day. He was on the teleconference. And I said, there was a shot of him and Urban talking there while Justin was working out. And I said, did you say to Urban, you want to reevaluate that number one pick? You know what I mean? Cause everybody knows Urban's pretty much, you know, they're pretty much settled on Trevor Lawrence and stuff. Yeah. But is there any doubt in your mind that Justin is going to be successful? I mean, just what's your, for people who don't know him as well as you do, even, what is it that, other than being able to throw the ball 65 yards in the air to a speeding CJ Saunders while falling backwards, what is it that makes this guy special, you think, that will carry him through on the next level?
Yeah, outside of what you said, obviously the ability is off the charts. And I think the thing of the NFL is, at least from what I've heard from a lot of former players and people that have been at that level, is, you know, everybody at that level has that ability. So how are you going to separate yourself? And that's one thing in the 2 short years that I've been able to know and get to work with Justin is he wants to learn more. He's hungry to learn more. He wants to know. He likes, you know, when we were working routes in the summer or whatever, if I have something to say, or some of our guys like, hey, I'm coming out at this angle, or he's going to tell us, hey, I want you out at this angle. It's little stuff like that.
Yeah.
That I think is really going to separate him as he gets that next level. And, you know, if you're a rookie coming in, everybody has a lot to learn. You hear these guys, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, these guys are, you know, 15, 20 years in, and they're still saying they're learning. So to say that he's going to go in there and have all the answers right away, I think he would even tell you that, hey, that's not the case. And that's what I think is going to make him really good, is he's going to be willing to learn. He's going to take every coaching point that you give him, and he's going to remember, he's going to keep it with him. So I think kind of that off the field, outside of the dude's amazing falling back, throwing it, you know, 60, 70 yards, whatever that is. But more than that, the dude's got a mindset of winning, and he wants to win. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. And you can't, I don't know if you can teach that, but some people are just born with it. And he's born with that competitiveness, as we've seen in his 2 years as a Buckeye quarterback many, many times. So I'm excited for his career.
I think you read that exactly the way his agent wrote it down for you to read it, didn't you?
yeah, I hear you.
Hey, last thing. Did y'all have a name for that play or code name for that play you ran? What was the – I'm talking about the last big catch. What's that route call? Just explain to people what y'all talked about before you ran it. But what is that route call, by the way? Because you kind of start in and go ahead.
We we had you know, obviously it's a post from the slot is essentially what, you know, deep post from the slot is essentially the basic of what it is. At Ohio State, we had termed that poker. Coach Day had put that in a few years back, and the only one that I really remember, we ran it against Iowa. Johnny Dixon caught a big that, if you go back to that game up at their place, he caught that big over the field post. And so I'm not exactly sure what the action is with the quarterback, but it's a big, you know, it's a big money. It's a go get it, just like it was at Pro Day yesterday. So that's kind of the focus. He's doing, you know, his play action. He's getting his feet, whatever. And we're going up, you know, to be exact, you can say whatever, you're going up to about 15. And I kind of yesterday enacted as there was a man coverage, trying to, you know, show a little some eyes to the other side. And then it's like you said, bolt to that other pylon. So we turned that poker with that big post through the middle. And like I said, I do remember specifically Johnny in I don't know if that was 2017 or 18. It's been a while now, but he caught that one. We ran it a few other times at Ohio State and it's worked really well. So yeah, to be exact, poker is kind of the term that if Justin would looked over at me and say, hey, give me that poker route, I would know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah. Hey, what's your landmark on that play though? As you make your cut, are you looking at the corner flag of the end zone? Are you looking at the number, you know what I mean? Are you looking at the number on the field? Are you looking at the pom-pom, whatever. I mean, at the goal line, what is your landmark on that?
So your angle coming out is you'd always, you always want it to be, or a catch point is you want to let the quarterback flatten you out if he has to. So I'm taking it to that back pylon, and that's where I'm thinking.
Back pylon. Yeah.
So that's kind of my aiming point going out, and I'm just on a dead sprint in that direction. And then yesterday he put the ball, as you saw, exactly what it would have been on that exact line. So that's, like you said, that's the pylon. That's where I know I got to get to as a receiver. Okay, I do what I got to do against a DB at the line, or if I got an off coverage player, whatever that is. But I know at some point I got to find my way over to that catch point, because that's where the ball is going to be in however many seconds. So, yeah, the back pylon is the moneymaker on that play.
Yeah, he threw it almost straight down the numbers. You know what I mean? And, and boy, it's just so cool to watch. It's kind of like watching a guy, you know, a heat-seeking missile find the fighter plane. You know what I mean?
except
you grabbed it. Hey, last thing. I asked you this earlier, but just reiterate. Are you leaving here – did you leave that pro day, and are you feeling much more confidence, much more boosted in terms of getting another shot to play football than you were this time, a week ago?
Yeah, I think coming out of a good pro day, perform well, you're able to, catch a lot of passes and be crisp in your routes and perform and do all the things you want to do. I am leaving feeling good. Does that mean anything's guaranteed? No, obviously. But I think you put all that hard work in, like I said, the last 2 months, especially focusing really on these drills and getting ready for this moment, and it pays off. And I think you should feel good. I think that's part of competing. That was kind of like, if I'm a big, UFC fan, and I hear all these fighters talk about it. It's kind of, hey, you get to that fight night. And yesterday was kind of that first fight for me in a long time, and was able to have a successful day. And so now you relax, like I said, recover, get nourished up and kind of get ready for that next push that's coming up here and leading up to the draft and kind of getting up to camp. So definitely feeling good. And if, like I said, does that mean any NFL thing is actually going to happen? No, but I was able to do what I wanted to do and perform well and have a lot of fun doing it.
Carpe diem, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, means seize the day. That's, if I'm a scout, if I'm a coach out there on any level, I look at the ones who step up and seize the day when the spotlight is on. Those are the guys who clearly have been able to put all the other stuff to the side and understand what is important at that very moment to make something happen, whether it's a game or a practice or a cutting down day and stuff. And you carpe diem without a doubt the other day, CJ. Man, thanks for joining me on this special 10 May podcast, man. And you know me, man, we've had very little interaction, but the time it is, I've always tried to make it as quality as much as I can with you, because I just think you're one of those special dudes, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm super, super blessed. And yeah, we've had some really good conversation now over the years. We've gotten to know each other. So I'm happy to be on here and spend some time with you.
Well, good luck, brother, and good luck in the draft. And we're gonna stay in touch if you don't mind, man. But ladies and gentlemen, CJ Saunders joining the Tim May podcast.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, awesome, Ward. We definitely wish CJ Saunders all the best as he pursues one more shot at his football career, right?
I'm going to say this one more time. If last year's eligibility didn't count for anybody, why in the world did CJ Saunders not get to play? I said this when it happened to you. We had this conversation a lot. He represents everything the NCAA claims to be about, which, by the way, they're having a really fun time, it seems, in court. And they're not, I think that this is one more example of how stupid their decision-making is. This guy was a walk-on. He was a captain. He was a graduate. You say, these are the people that you want in the NCAA. And then you say, eligibility doesn't count, but you don't let this kid play. I never get it, but he's never said a crossword about it publicly, and he never will. He said that's part of his journey. And now he got a unique opportunity. And that was a very long-winded way, of course, from me of saying, yes, we want CJ Saunders to get every opportunity possible.
Yeah, it is funny how things work out, and that just when you never forget CJ Saunders, but just when you've kind of forgotten him as a football player, boom, and then the play of the day, as far as the one everybody was buzzing about after that buzzing, they were cheering, like you say, when you throw a completed pass, it takes two to tango, one to throw it and one to catch it. And C.J. Saunders ran that down, like I told him, like Willie Mays running down that Vic Wertz hit to the deep end of the Polo Ground center field. And, you know, that he has a moment no matter what that will live, you know, in pro day history. But I digress real quick. You know, tell me something about Justin Fields that you saw yesterday that you had to be more confirmed for you, you know, as a guy who's watched him play now for 2 years, just like I have. And I'll tell you a couple things I took from it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that was Justin Fields. Like I just, it's baffling to me that we're having this conversation about, I don't believe that scout who gave him a fourth round grade is real.
I don't either.
That can't be, that person should be fired if he's actually real and not some sort of bizarre smokescreen. But either way, he's been so scrutinized, and 2 years is not like some tiny sample size. He had, what you'd consider maybe two bad games for any quarterback, but certainly compared to what Justin Fields normally does. Nothing he did yesterday should come as any kind of surprise. He's not a, workout warrior just showing up to run a fast 40 at a combine. Those are all throws that he's made in games, in important games, in Sugar Bowl games against high-level competition. The read stuff, there's nothing he could do to fix that, but it's also very stupid and ill-informed by whoever believes that Justin Fields doesn't have to do normal quarterback things. So if that's the way that it's going to work, that's fine. But I think I watched a little bit of Mac Jones throw before on the NFL Network before Justin started throwing his workout. They almost look like they're not even playing the same sport.
Yeah.
So I don't understand who could watch those two things happen. And I know that they're not in pads. I know there's not a defense on the field. But when you put together his film with this information, what the two look like, what they can physically do, there's no person in the world that would say, I want this guy from Alabama's pro day over what I just saw at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
No, but you know what happens? Number one, it is amazing because I think Mac Jones, had the most accurate passing year in SEC, in Southeastern Conference history. I'm talking about, and I may be wrong, but it's right there.
He's
right
good. There. I'm not saying he's
good. No. But then yesterday, or as we talk, it was yesterday, with Bill Belichick and all these guys watching Kyle Shanahan, he was anything but accurate, for most of the day. And meanwhile, Justin's out there, and he's throwing, like you said, all these receivers, Johnny Dixon, C.J. Saunders, Luke Farrell, I think Jake Hausman, was running routes.
Trey Sermon.
And Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. But he looked like a 7-on-7 practice, that we watched. Well, I watched one day in the Woody way back in February of last year before the pandemic hit. And it just looked like another day at the beach for Justin Fields, and just the rapidity in which he was throwing the ball. I'm talking about from play to play, but then the accuracy for the most part. Yeah, he was slightly behind on a few crossing routes and stuff. That can be ironed out a little bit. But I mean, just the deep balls were just almost on point, et cetera. I mean, he was clearly a man who stepped up to that moment and took advantage of it. And like you said, here's the thing, though. The reason you start hearing more talk about like Mac Jones and the kid from – is it South Dakota State?
North Dakota State.
Yeah, North Dakota State. I get those two mixed up. Don't get mad at me. I know where Wyoming is.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, exactly. I know you do. Ladies and gentlemen, a cowboy from Wyoming sitting right there, awesome Ward. But is these teams aren't necessarily looking at Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence because they're not going to get them. You know what I mean? There's been some movement with, San Francisco moving around and getting the third pick, if I'm not. But the point is, you kind of like start analyzing who you have a shot at, not necessarily who you don't. So then that means the buzz about another guy kind of falls off the wagon a little bit. But like you said, this idea, we talked about this before, that Justin Fields doesn't go through his progressions, can't read defenses. Like I'm telling people till I'm almost blue in the face, you know, Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson and Corey Dennis, these guys, they're such good play schemers. You don't go to the second guy. The first guy in the progression is usually wide open for Ohio State, or has been. And so, yeah, you don't go A, B, C, and D. Like Justin said when he was asked about it yesterday on our teleconference after the fact, you know, if that guy's open, he's designed to be open, you throw it to him and you celebrate, you know, down at the end zone, right? So, it's just crazy. And, the Northwestern game, he looked lost without his primary receiver, Chris Olave, out there. And who else was missing that game? Jackson Smith and Jigba was missing, I think, in that game.
You know what else was missing? I've said this before. Like, you have to put it in context. Like, Justin Fields was not causing those issues.
Correct.
We said directly to Ryan Day and addressed it. That was not his best play calling performance in the first half. He was struggling without Chris Olave.
Yes.
But they were not using what Northwestern was giving them, which was to let Trey Sermon run wild. They were designing it was a unique game plan that was like, all right, this time we're not going to let Justin Fields win. You're going to have to march your way down the field or use your running game.
And
Ohio State was quick enough. That's not Justin Fields' fault.
Yeah. And I think they practiced like one day that week, if you remember correctly. One good practice. And number three, just think if he had trusted what he was seeing that Trey Sermon was doing, Trey Sermon might have had 500 yards rushing that day. I mean, seriously. It was that. But you're right. I mean, there are all kinds of things. But that's, you know, why do people seize on that moment? This is what always intrigued me, because you got to be contrarian for people to pay attention to you. You know what I mean? But right. You seize on that moment instead of the ridiculous game that Justin had against Clemson in the college football playoff semifinals. The ridiculous game he had, 6 touchdown pass. You know, why don't you seize on that as more indicative of what you're going to see? You're going against like competition without a doubt. You've got a fairly full complement of your weapons around you, and you exploited it like never before as an Ohio State quarterback.
Yeah, it's always, you know, fascinating to watch how this plays out and this happens with Ohio State, even when we're talking about college football playoff, where you latch on to, you know, somebody's worst outing and think that, you know, I don't know what that tells you. I haven't heard a lot about, you know, Zach Wilson finishing last year with 4 interceptions against San Diego State and Hawaii. And, I think that level of competition. I love the Mountain West, by the way. Everybody knows that. That's not the same as going through a Big Ten schedule or playing in the college football playoff or a Big Ten championship game. So, you know, if that's what you want to do, if you want to take somebody's worst outing and then tell you what that means for them as a pro, do that. Do it for Trey Lance. Do it for Trevor Lawrence. Do it for Justin Fields. But he seems to be the only one where this matters. Yeah. And I don't
– Yeah, I don't even know – See, here's the thing. The problem is everybody knows that you heard me ask Ryan Day whether and I talked to C.J. Saunders about this, whether he whispered to whether he was whispering to Urban, whether you want to reconsider that number one pick, you know, because they had a shot of them together while Justin was going through his workout. And of course, we all know it looks like Urban Meyer and Jacksonville have settled on Trevor Lawrence as their guy. But, you know,
I think that decision was made in November 15th.
Roughly. Yeah. And so, you know, there's that. But it's that leaves these other guys to look at, you know, for want of another term and for want of another explanation. I want to get to this real quick. Who in your estimation from watching and people we talked to, but also, you know, people we've talked to that were there, because I talked to a couple of guys that were there from a scouting standpoint, they thought Wyatt Davis helped himself, at least a couple of my guys I talked to thought Wyatt Davis really helped himself. It's still mind-boggling to me that he's not considered more as a first-round talent somewhere. And when you that Josh Myers, you know, we didn't, you know, I had Josh Myers on my podcast right after the season was over, but we didn't know about the turf toe situation that, I bet his career kind of flashed before his eyes a little bit, you know, because he ended up having to have surgery, didn't get to work out everywhere. Do everything yesterday, but he did get to work out a little bit as he recovers from the surgery he had from, as he explained it in detail, which I won't get into, but the word evulsion was used. But who's the guy, in your opinion? I think Wyatt Davis helped himself big time because he was coming off a knee problem that, as he said, didn't need surgery, just needed rest. And he looked really quite the part. But isn't it hard to imagine him slipping all the way through the first round as good as he was the last 2 years?
I mean, if he goes all the way through the first round, I think that Urban Meyer will sprint to the podium or his phone or however they're doing it this year.
Yeah.
That went in. I mean, that is a 10, 12-year NFL starter cornerstone for your offensive line. I think the same is true for Josh Myers. And then both of them, just to, you know, quickly follow off of that point, talking about their injuries, what they did for Ohio State, you know, playing through that, NFL teams, certainly from an offensive line standpoint, are going to love hearing that, what they give selflessly and physically. So I agree with you. Generally, it's hard for offensive linemen to make a big splash on pro day, but those guys probably did exactly what they needed to do. And so did Baron Browning.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going through this process, you know, yet again, of what position do you play? Where do you go? And, you know, at this point, that's just part of life for him. And that was, I knew that this was going to happen. And I thought, I hope for him that he could do it at the combine where, you know, the whole world was watching at once what he can physically do.
Yeah.
You know, just huge, huge impact there with the 40 time vertical jump, broad jump, which he said even surprised himself. Guy tested off the charts. He and Pete Warner both did. I think that a lot of money was made by those two. And hey, Justin Hilliard bench repped more than Wyatt Davis, which I never would have. I would have lost that bet 100 times in a row. Guy coming off, I mean, it's been a couple of years removed, but both biceps, being torn during his career, and he's ripping off, was it 27 reps on 225?
He wanted 28. You know, he felt kind of bad he didn't get to that 28. But go ahead. You're right.
Kudos to Justin Hilliard, man. I mean, you're talking about C.J. Saunders getting off the mat. Justin Hilliard is truly an inspirational story. That's not hyperbole.
No.
Guy that, we don't need to go through it again. He's just an incredible story. And he did what he needed to do on a pro day as well. And big day for those linebackers.
And, for example, Luke Farrell. I mean, you and I both know we I'm not bragging on us, but we understand football. Yeah, everybody's looking for a starting tight end, but a lot of people are looking for that second tight end now, to augment. And I think without a doubt, Luke Farrell fits that bill. I mean, and I think he proved that I keep saying yesterday, who knows when this is going to run. He proved that at the Ohio State Pro Day that, he can catch the ball, he can run some routes. But then the video shows him blocking like a demon, like a tackle 1A, you know what I mean? And I think that probably helped a lot of people make up their minds on Luke Farrell, just the way he performed on the OSU Pro Day that, along with all this other video you see of him, he can catch the ball. And he's a sure-handed receiver. As a matter of fact, you can put a pretty good highlight tape together about him in his career at Ohio State of catching big time passes, And so there's another guy that was, whenever you got this comet streaking across the sky, which is Justin Fields, you just see a lot of guys that you think.
A lot of upper stars when you're looking up at the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And, but if these scouts are making their, earning their cash, they're paying attention to those other guys. It's the media that seizes on that highlight, that highlight tape, that highlight reel of the guy, that's at the top, which everybody knows. I mean, Justin Fields is going to go within the first six picks, I do believe. I mean, I don't know if you agree or not. You agree?
I would be stunned if he did not.
Yeah. So, where's the debate on him really when you get right down to, except for the nuance, you and I were talking about? It's the other guys that you're interested in. And I agree with you. I think all four linebackers helped themselves yesterday, but I think especially Justin Hilliard and Pete Warner and Baron Browning. I think Tuff Borland is going to get taken because I think he can be a good special teams guy to begin with and maybe work himself into a player in the league. So, I agree with Greg Madison, who I had on my earlier podcast this week, that all four of those guys could be basically long-time players in the NFL. And long-time in the NFL is 3 to 5 years, or more. But I think you agree with that. They all bring something to the table that's interesting. But Pete Warner continues to intrigue me because like he pointed out, you know, he tackles in space about as well as anybody on the team the last couple of years. And boy, in the NFL now, you're looking for that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
that's a lot of talent. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're looking forward to the rest of spring. You know, we're going to talk to some more players here as this week and the next weeks go by. But awesome work. Thanks for joining me on this special Tim May podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, until next week, I'll see you then.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.